it's time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The sideline report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton, the WPKY studios. Thanks a lot for tuning in, as always. We've got softball action on the air today, as long as the weather cooperates with us. Lady Tigers hosting Madisonville North Hopkins out at Lady Tiger Field today, and we'll have the game here on WPKY immediately following the 5 o'clock newscast. Number one seed for the 7th District softball tournament still on the line, and we'll have all the action right here on WPKY today. Also today, the Tiger baseball team is at home hosting Union County. The Tigers 10-0 at the VFW ballpark today. We'll have updates from baseball on our softball broadcast today. Tigers 14-2 on the season. Caldwell County 41-9 over the past two seasons on the baseball diamond. Coming up here on the sideline report this morning, in just a little bit, we'll talk with longtime Kentucky sports writer Larry Vaught. You can read Vaught's views over at yoursportsedge.com. So we'll talk with Larry coming up in just a bit. Also, a little bit later on this morning on the show, former Caldwell County Tiger and the current baseball head coach at Midway University, Luther Bramblett, will join us. That's all coming up here on the sideline report this morning. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back and talk to Larry Vaught right after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
You only turn 130 once, and Fredonia Valley Bank is pulling out all the stops. This remarkable journey is a testament to the community and the cherished customers, so they are shouting out a huge thank you. And what better way to show gratitude than with monthly giveaways? Stay in the loop for your chance to grab some amazing prizes. Stay tuned with us. Follow Fredonia Valley Bank on Facebook and Instagram, or pop into either location for a visit. Here's to winning and celebrating together.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Trilogy Performance Sports, they believe in only the highest standards of physical fitness training. Their staff members are actively enriching the lives of their members and creating a community of like-minded people. And getting you in shape is their number one goal. They have everything you need: knowledge, experience, and equipment. They find out what's important to you and design a customized plan that fits your needs. Learn more at TrilogyPerformanceSports.com.
Stay safe on the road while keeping your vehicle in top shape while enjoying a smoother, quieter ride. Ensure fuel efficiency by trusting the tire experts at Trice Hughes. Stocking leading brands like Michelin, Goodyear, Firestone, and Bridgestone ensures quality and longevity. Plus, enjoy no-cost tire rotations with every service appointment for the life of your tires. Discover the Trice Hughes difference in Princeton or find them at TriceHughesGM.com. At Trice Hughes, they're more than just tires.
It's prom time, Caldwell County, and WPKY has got all the glitz, the glamour, and pizzazz. Grand March is this Saturday. Join us right here on WPKY starting at 7 p.m. and see it all unfold live on our website, WPKYonline.com.
Brought to you by First Southern National Bank, Goodwin Insurance, Princeton Optimist Club, Ackridge Farm Supply, Barclay Hudson State Farm, Trice Hughes, and our community partner, Fredonia Valley Bank.
When we say
classic hits,
we mean
American Woman. Stay away from me.
All I need is a miracle. All I need is you.
After midnight, we're gonna let it all hang down.
Listen to WPKY worldwide at
WPKYonline.com.
WPKY.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks for tuning in on this Thursday morning. We're going to talk a little University of Kentucky sports now with Larry Vaught, longtime UK sports writer. He's joining us this morning. And Larry, good morning. Welcome back to the Sideline Report.
Well, thank you for having me, buddy.
Absolutely. Big news this week. Travis Perry entered the transfer portal. I think caught some of us off guard just a little bit, but Travis looking maybe for someplace where he can play just a little bit more.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think Travis has really spoke a lot about this. I kind of doubt that he will until he makes his decision, because that's just how he normally operates. But I think it's just easy to see when he looks at the roster and looks at the playing time that could be there for him. And I think most people listening this morning know that Travis is a guy that loves to play. He's a competitor. And I think he's just looking for a spot that he can go and have more playing time, not only for next year, but for the next 3 years. And I think it's kind of interesting that we have a player still that values playing time over NIL money or NBA aspirations or anything like that. I think Travis is what we would call an old school guy now, who just wants a chance to play more. And I think you just appreciate him for that. He played a very valuable role for most of last season for Kentucky, and was part of some big wins for Kentucky. But I think when he looks at that roster, and you don't want to sit there and think, well, you know, we'll get two or three guys hurt again next year. That's not the way you want to sit there and think. So I think Travis just weighed all these options, and with Mark Pope putting the last roster piece in place that he did, and that's what Mark Pope has to do in today's world, try to build his roster. So I think it's just the Mark Pope made moves he had to make. Now Travis Perry's making a move that he feels best for his career, and anyone that doesn't wish him well because of that, I just don't understand some of the criticism some people are still giving Travis.
Yeah, the NIL, though, has completely changed the game as far as college sports go, and I think we're just going to see every team pretty much rebuild their roster every season. And for Mark Pope, it was a good recruiting class, I thought, and like I said, I think Travis just kind of got pushed down the numbers there. And if you're the 12th or 13th man on the roster, it's pretty easy to see you're probably not going to get a whole lot of playing time.
No, and it wasn't the case, from all I can tell, of Mark Pope and his staff not wanting Travis Perry to stay and still be there, and to think that in the future he could be a major contributor for him. It wasn't anything like that. And Travis is probably going to be that rare player, and I could be wrong about this, but be that rare player that may transfer and get less NIL money than what he was getting where he was. And that's going to be something that almost nobody does. Most everybody transfers because they want more. Travis, I think, is valuing playing time over NIL money, because I think he was going to have a pretty lucrative, well, I guess lucrative, define it different in today's world. And my house pretty lucrative, I guess, in the terms of college athletics now, just probably kind of an average NIL, but still, I think it probably would have been more Kentucky than it would be wherever he ends up going. Maybe I'll be wrong. We'll see.
Well, with the NIL the way it is there a spot for that 4-year kid that can come in, or 5-year kid that can come in? Because there was a time when coaches would take a chance on somebody, thinking, hey, we'll redshirt them a year, we'll give them a couple of years in the program. By the time they become juniors and seniors, they'll be contributing players. But with the way the rosters get turned over these days, is there a spot for that guy nowadays?
I don't know. I don't know. You're going to probably say no, but it would be kind of a shame to see it turn that way. Maybe in the next year or two, things will kind of even back out and it'll go back that direction. But I don't know, because now you're either going to have players that go to a certain school and it doesn't work out immediately like they thought that it would, and so they transfer looking for a change, or you're going to have players that maybe got overlooked a little bit in high school and didn't have as many offers as what you would thought they would have, and then they go somewhere, have a good year, and they've got a chance to transfer and move back up to a higher level. Like I'm looking right now at Claire Johnson from McCracken County. He went to Samford as a freshman and was their leading scorer. Now the coach is leaving, so she's in the transfer portal. And the last total I had is she's already had 30 to 40 schools reach out to her, which is way more offers than she had coming out of high school. So it's just a different world that we live in right now.
Yeah, it used to be that the schools seemed to control everything, and now the players kind of have control. And it's just interesting when you see somebody that plays at, say, Florida 1 year, and the next year they're transferring or getting in the transfer portal, and the next year they're at Kentucky playing guard.
Yeah, I mean, you play Florida and you're part of a national championship team. You're from the state of Florida. you figure to be a starter at Florida this year. And instead, Denzel Aberdeen decides to go ahead and transfer to Kentucky. But one of Auburn's best players on a Final Four team figured to have an even more prominent role this next year than what he had this past year on a Final Four team. He's transferring. So, I mean, it's just a hard thing to figure out what goes on. I mean, I know a lot of it's just purely about the money, I think, for some guys, which, again, is what makes Travis a little bit different, because I don't think his move is about the money, and I hope people will appreciate that there's still players like that who just want to play.
I'm going to be honest, when Travis picked the University of Kentucky, I was a little surprised. I think a lot of us thought maybe Ole Miss was the front runner, but it's really tough to tell a Kentucky kid not to go to UK and play basketball.
Yeah, I mean, he grew up obviously a Kentucky fan. He wanted a chance to play at Kentucky, and when he got offered that chance by John Calipari, he took it. He quickly accepted it again when Mark Pope offered him the same chance, and I don't think most of us thought he would be called on to have a significant role as a freshman. It would be kind of a learning and growing year for him, but instead injuries forced him into a role that I don't think he probably would have anticipated, and maybe a role that he wasn't all that comfortable in, but he did it and did the best that he could. And I thought at times played pretty well. I've heard people talk about, well, he wasn't athletic enough and his defense wasn't this and wasn't that, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't the guy that he didn't give up all 107 points in some games when they got beat or something like that. He wasn't the only problem or player that maybe had trouble with some defense. But everybody can score in college now. So, I mean, there's not a lot of elite defensive players. And Travis, I think, still is an elite shooter. And I think he'll prove that over the next 3 years somewhere. So I think some folks are a little hard on Travis and that forgot at times he was just a freshman, the role that what he was recruited to do and what he ended up having to try to do last year weren't one and the same.
I actually thought that with Mark Pope coming in, that would help Travis. I thought he might struggle to try to find that role in John Calipari's system, but I really thought that Mark Pope would kind of offer him that opportunity. And I guess because of the injuries this past season, he got to play a little bit, but like we said earlier, just so many guys have come in, and that's every college program. It doesn't matter how good a player you are. The coach is always going to try to find somebody that's better.
That's exactly right. I mean, it's just the way that it is. So, again, you could tell, obviously, it was not an easy decision for Travis to make because he waited to the very last moment to go ahead and put his name into the transfer portal. And so we will see what happens. I mean, I guess in today's world, he could technically change his mind and decide to stay at Kentucky and not transfer. So until he makes his choice, we'll know for sure what he will do. And I know most of us think there's maybe some obvious choices or possibilities out there for him, but there may be somebody reach out to him that we have no idea about, and he'll be somewhere we hadn't even thought about. So I think it makes it a little bit harder where he was so late entering the transfer portal, because a lot of teams have already filled positions on their roster with what they needed. But if there's somebody still out there that needs an elite shooter, I think Travis will still have some interest and have some pretty good options, hopefully.
We're talking this morning with longtime Kentucky sports writer Larry Vaught, and you can read Vaught's views over at yoursportsedge.com. Larry, what was kind of your take on Mark Pope's first year at UK?
Oh, I thought it was better than I could have anticipated, not only on the court, but what he was able to do off the court, rejuvenating the fan base. It just seemed like he did everything right all season long along those ways and along those lines. And I thought on the court that they lost double-digit games, which that's not what you want to see at Kentucky, but, I mean, it happens when you have to recruit a roster when you get there. But some of the significant wins they had were pretty amazing to get to the Sweet 16 and overcome the injuries that they had. I think it was a pretty remarkable season, and I think Mark's coaching resume and reputation went up during the year. I think a lot of people our coaches across the country respect him as a coach even more now than they did, because Kentucky kind of puts a spotlight on you. A lot of guys got to watch you, and I think they all were pretty impressed with what they saw from Mark Pope.
Yeah, and to get to the Sweet 16 with all the injuries the team endured during the season, to me, I thought that was about as far as we could realistically expect that team to get this year.
Yeah, I know Mark would disagree with it because, yeah, boy, he was bitterly disappointed when they lost to Tennessee, a team they beat twice. But it just told me what's even more amazing, they found a way to beat Tennessee twice the way that they did. But I think when you have 8 wins over top 15 teams like they did, and they beat Duke, and they beat Florida, the national champion. So they had so many good moments that I think if you just told me a year ago at this time, when Mark had just been hired, and was just starting to try to put a roster together, that they were going to be able to do what they did, I thought, nah, that seems kind of optimistic, Todd, but they sure did it, and it was a fun ride, and I think it will continue to be a fun ride with Mark.
Now, does the Southeastern Conference continue to be ridiculously strong, or was this past season just an exceptional year for SEC basketball?
Well, I don't think there's any way he can be as strong as what it was this past year. I think that was just an exceptional year. And again, like I said, we have players that are leaving Florida and Auburn. 2 teams are in the Final Four and transferring away. I mean, it just shows you how college basketball has changed. And with the way the transfer portal operates, it's just going to be hard from year to year to know who's going to be great that next season and who's not until all this transfer stuff works out. And I think the SEC will still be really good, but it's hard to imagine it could be as good as it was this year.
Well, and to me, that just kind of adds to what Mark Pope did, because it was not a typical year in the Southeastern Conference.
No, it was. There were no easy wins at any time, no matter whether you're playing at home or on the road, if you were playing the first-place team in the league or the last-place team. There just were no easy wins in the league. And I think that will kind of be the case going forward, but I just don't think it'll be as physical and as talented a league overall as it was this year. I mean, so many teams not only were good, but they were so deep on their rosters. And I think that's going to be hard to maintain in this day and age that we're living in now.
Yeah, those top 4 this season, I think they just kind of separated themselves from the pack. And Kentucky, when healthy, I think was right there with them.
Absolutely. It's just when you have so many injuries and all at one kind of one position at your point guard spot, it's just hard to overcome, especially when you used to put a roster together like what you have, and you end up having to play Travis and Trent Noah and Colin Chandler a whole lot more minutes, I'm sure, than what you ever anticipated you would then. And you had to turn Amari Williams into a point center just kind of out of necessity to help you get your offense going, because that was one way you could do it. And so I think the innovative things that we saw from Mark were pretty remarkable this year, and those will be the kind of things we'll continue to see from him.
Now, switching gears just a little bit here, with Kentucky basketball in the news so much these days, has that maybe taken some of the attention off of Kentucky football and maybe given Mark Stoops a bit of a break from all the talk that he might be potentially on the hot seat at some point?
Well, I think going 4-8 took the attention off Mark Stoops. I think that kind of turned a lot of fans off, no matter what had happened in basketball. And I do think the attention on basketball did kind of take your mind off of football some. But I think the 4-8 season did it more than anything. And most Kentucky football fans are in kind of the wait-and-see mode. And when you go 4-8, you're definitely on the hot seat, especially when you got a schedule that's going to be even more difficult this year than what it was last year. So, I mean, Kentucky could be a much better team this year and still maybe not win but 5 games because of the schedule that it's going to face. And I think that's the hurdle that Mark Stoops is going to have to try to find a way to get over this year. And whether he can or not, I don't know. Now, again, he's loaded up with transfers in there too, and so we're hearing this and that about this player and that player, but put me in that wait and see mode, because we've heard that for the last couple of years. And then when the season got here, it hadn't panned out the way that it was being portrayed that it was going to. So I've got to see him play a couple of games where I really want to jump back in there and believe that they can be significantly better this year.
Yeah, with Southeastern Conference football, you know, you can have a top 20 recruiting class, but that might just be 12th best in the SEC.
or maybe not even 12th best.
Yeah.
it may not even be 12th best if it, at all. And so Kentucky, I think, had good recruiting class. They had good success in the transfer portal. But I don't know if good is good enough in the SEC to make a jump up. And last year they just had a lot of, I think, internal issues. Will those be better this year? I think there's no way of knowing until they actually get out there and play. I mean, Mark Stoops is talking a great game about accountability and chemistry and all of that, but this time a year ago they were telling us they had the deepest, most talented roster they've ever had, and they went 4-8. So let's wait and see.
Yeah, I think sometimes UK football is kind of guilty of being its own hype machine. They say things like that, and it gets us all fired up. But then, you know, the results on the field don't quite equal the hype sometimes.
Now, of course, no coach is ever going to tell you, man, we're terrible this year. We'll be lucky to win three games. They're not going to tell you that. But I think maybe – and I think they truly believed what they were saying last year. I think the Kentucky coaches were as surprised as anybody with the way that season turned out. I think they legitimately thought they had all the pieces in place to be – really, really good, but they just had so many guys that didn't perform to the level that they thought that they would. And again, I think there's a lot of internal issues in that locker room, and when you have that just kind of takes away from what you're trying to do. And it wasn't like Kentucky had a great margin for error anyway, so they had to be able to get things done and be a lot more efficient than what they were. They just made so many foolish and careless mistakes during games. They just beat themselves a lot of times.
Jumping back to basketball for just a minute, we saw this week that Nashville announced almost $1 million in improvements coming to Bridgestone Arena. And if we're kind of reading between the lines there, Larry, does that almost guarantee the SEC tournament's going to stay in Nashville for probably forever?
You would kind of think that. But in today's world, money talks. And if some other city or some other place offers the right amount of money, I'm sure the SEC would pick up and skedoodle in a heartbeat. But I think Nashville must feel pretty confident that event is coming back. But then again, they have so many things in that arena now that the SEC is just 1 week of what they do. So it may not matter to them if that happened. And they did lose the SEC tournament, but I think it's just going to all come down to money every year with the SEC tournament, just like it is anything else. I mean, it's obviously, to me, by far the best place to have it, but logic never overrules money, not anymore in college athletics.
Well, Bridgestone is an older arena by today's standards, but you look at the improvements they're going to make over the next 5 to 10 years, and it looks to me like it's going to be basically a brand-new arena by the time they get finished.
It looks like it. Probably a soft drink will cost you $32.
Probably. Bottle of water be 10, so.
Or more.
Yeah. Well, Larry, we appreciate you coming on the show this morning and talking some UK sports with us. Hopefully we're looking for a better season for UK football and for UK basketball. I know this past season was really a lot of fun, and hopefully Mark Pope can just keep things going. And who knows where UK basketball will be this time next year.
Yeah. Let's all hope it'll be in an even better place. But if not, at least with Mark Pope in charge, I'm pretty sure it's going to be fun to watch anyway.
All right, Larry, appreciate it. Have a great day.
Okay.
That's Larry Vaught, longtime Kentucky sports writer. Again, you can hear Vaught's views, read Vaught's views over at yoursportsedge.com, and you can hear Vaught's views each morning right here on WPKY. We need to get to a timeout here on the Sideline Report. We'll come back and have more for you right after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Head to the Java Table on LaCourte Square in Princeton for breakfast, lunch, or your favorite coffee drink, hot or cold, known for their fresh and delicious handcrafted foods. Come to the table, the Java Table, Princeton.
Weather Edge Weather Center forecast, a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms today. Partly sunny skies, high near 79. Then tonight, 30% for showers and thunderstorms. Well after midnight going into early Friday, partly cloudy skies with a low around 62. Friday afternoon, a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, high near 77. But back to this afternoon, decent shot for showers. Partly sunny and 79 in southwestern Kentucky.
Feeling Feeling under the weather? Visit Princeton Drugstore for quick and easy testing. For only $40, get tested for flu, COVID, or strep. And the pharmacist can write you a prescription on the spot. In about 20 minutes, you can have your diagnosis, prescription, and a school excuse without leaving your car. Why wait at the doctor's office when you can get back to feeling better faster? Come to Princeton Drugs drive-thru today and take the fast lane to recovery. Princeton Drugstore, your quick stop to feeling good again.
This is Cullen Pope, financial advisor with InvestFB. I'm excited to have Travis Perry with me here. What we do at InvestFB is not a lot different than coaching basketball. Any chance you could call me Coach Pope?
That might be a little awkward. Maybe we could try Mr. Pope?
Mr. is too formal. At InvestFB, we strive to know our customers on a more personal level.
Now that sounds familiar. Working together to build a winning team.
This is a paid testimonial. The provider has received or will receive compensation paid by the Farmers Bank and Trust Company. The individual providing this testimonial is a current client of InvestFB Wealth Management and does not have additional conflicts of interest. The testimonial may not be representative of the experience of other customers, and the testimonial is no guarantee of future performance or success.
What are we going to do? Doctor, will he be okay?
Unexpected happens. Goodwin Insurance Agency has you covered with auto, home, life, commercial, boat, and RV insurance. That way, when the unexpected happens...
Congratulations! It's a girl!
You're covered.
Goodwin Insurance of Princeton, Cadiz, or Marion, or online at insurewithgoodwin.com.
Stay safe on the road while keeping your vehicle in top shape while enjoying a smoother, quieter ride. Ensure fuel efficiency by trusting the tire experts at Trice Hughes. Stocking leading brands like Michelin, Goodyear, Firestone, and Bridgestone ensures quality and longevity. Plus, enjoy no-cost tire rotations with every service appointment for the life of your tires. Discover the Trice Hughes difference in Princeton or find them at TriceHughesGM.com. At Trice Hughes, they're more than just tires.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks to Larry Vaught for coming on and talking UK sports with us this morning. Coming up next, we're going to talk with former Caldwell County Tiger and currently the baseball head coach at Midway University, Luther Bramblett. Stay with us. The Sideline Report continues after this on 1580, 103.3 WPKY.
Powering your lives and lighting up your nights. Princeton Electric Plant Board's community spirit shines bright. Entrusted with the glow of our fields, they keep our Tigers' pathways illuminated to victory. A shout out goes to our Tigers as they roar into a new season. Good luck, Tigers. Here's to a safe and victorious year from your one and only Princeton Electric Plant Board. They're not just a service, they're community.
At Caldwell Medical Center, our transitional care patients receive the same care as they would in a skilled nursing facility, including physical, occupational, respiratory, speech therapies, and more. Every situation is unique. We help our patients reach their personal goals for independent living, all delivered with the care and compassion our patients deserve, right here, close to home. For more information, visit CaldwellMedical.com.
High school juniors and seniors, are you ready to take control of your financial future? First Southern National Bank is excited to highlight the Give, Save, and Spend course offered through Asbury University. This hands-on course teaches practical money management skills, including how to give generously, save regularly, and spend wisely. It's the perfect way to prepare for life ahead. Registration is now open on the Asbury University website. Don't miss this opportunity to build financial confidence that lasts a lifetime.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Joining us now from Midway University, baseball head coach Luther Bramblett. He's a former Caldwell County Tiger. And Luther, welcome back to the show. Good morning. Thanks for being on the Sideline Report with us this morning.
Good morning, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, how are things there in the Eastern time zone?
Well, they're good. It's not raining yet, so that's a positive. Hopefully we can get out on the field today and get some work done before we leave tomorrow.
Yeah, you guys are kind of headed down this way, right?
We are. We actually headed to Henderson to stay there because they've got the All-A or 2-A or something going on in Owensboro this weekend, and there's no hotels available in Owensboro, so... we're playing Brescia on Saturday and Sunday, 12 o'clock start both days. We'll play a doubleheader on Saturday, one on Sunday. And that'll be our last regular season games. Hopefully we play well this weekend and qualify for our conference tournament.
Yeah, Owensboro has the All-A Classic Softball at Jack Fisher Park, and it has All-A Baseball at Davis County High School this weekend. So yeah, all the hotel rooms probably were gathered up.
Yeah, they were gobbled up. So,
now, how's the season gone for you guys so far there at Midway?
Well, it's been another kind of an up and down year. We've had some injuries and have played well in some games and not well in others. We are currently 19-22 overall record. We've played a really, really good schedule this year. I didn't do ourselves any favors with our schedule. I think we are 1-10 or 11 against teams that are ranked in the top 25, and most of those were top five teams that we played at the time. But overall, it's been a pretty good year. We've got 20 seniors on our team, so I obviously thought we'd be playing better, and that's one of the reasons why I scheduled the way we did. But I think we're playing better baseball the last couple weeks, and hopefully we can finish strong here and, like I said, qualify for the conference tournament. We only take 6 of our 9 teams. Right now we're currently tied for 5th. And if we have a good weekend and a team loses ahead of us, then we could end up finishing 3rd. So,
yeah, I saw your senior day picture just, week before last, and I saw all the players you had in it. Caldwell County had its senior day Tuesday, and the Tigers only had 2 seniors, so it was kind of a contrast with what you guys had.
It is, and that's one of the impressive things what Caldwell's doing. They're winning a bunch of baseball games with a predominantly young underclass team, so that bodes well for the future there.
You know, the last 2 years they've played 50 games, they've won 41 of them. That's a pretty good percentage.
That's good. I'll take that.
Yeah. Now, do you get to keep up with the Tigers much anymore?
Well, I follow them on obviously what you guys post, and then I usually check the Kentucky High School website and look at the scores, and then click on Caldwell and see how they did, and look at some of their stats and see who's playing well and stuff like that. So I keep up with them that way. It's been a long time since I think the last time I've actually seen them in person was probably at the state tournament several years ago when they had Burns and those guys. And so it's been a while since I've seen them. It's tough to get around and see a lot of high school games, especially out away from us, since we're playing the same time, you know, they're playing.
Well, we need to get some more Caldwell County kids up your way, and you guys need to start hitting Western Kentucky really hard.
I know. I've been trying. We're talking to some Western Kentucky kids that are at the junior college level right now. Hopefully we can nab a handful of those guys. But right now, currently, I think 60-70% of our roster are Kentucky kids, but we've got 0 from the Western part.
Now, what is recruiting like for you guys at Midway? I talked to Larry Vaught earlier this morning on the show, and we were talking about the transfer portal and everything the main NCAA colleges have to do anymore to recruit a team and put together a roster. You guys are NAIA. What's the recruiting process kind of like for you guys?
Well, it is similar. We don't have gobs of money, of NIL money, like your Power Fours do, obviously, but there are NAIs that have started collectives, and there are some NAIs that are paying kids to come play, you know, $5,000 or $6,000, which isn't a whole lot of money when you're looking at what Kentucky players are getting, but we've got some that are doing that, not a lot yet, but we do dive into the transfer portal. I've got, I think in this graduating class, I think 5 of them are former Division I players. Now, our situation is a little more unique where most of those kids are Lexington area kids that wanted to come back home, closer to home, and we gave them a good opportunity to play. But we will be looking at the portal for Kentucky kids. And then we also recruit, you know, junior college kids heavy, and then try to find high school kids that that could develop and potentially help us in a year or two down the road. So it's a mixture of everything.
Well, when you look at some of the things going on these days, though, and the NCAA has been told it can't count junior college years against eligibility, and now they're saying maybe they can't count NAIA years against eligibility. Do you think that would make more kids look at an NAIA school because they could go play a couple of years and still have 4 years maybe at an NCAA school if it all shakes out the way we think it will?
Yeah, potentially, 100%. I mean, I've got a few players that have only played 4 years, and with this, for this upcoming year, that Diego, the ruling, I've got a couple that could potentially go to a Division I and play. And then vice versa, I've got a kid on my staff that was at a junior college and then went to Ole Miss and then went to USC Upstate. He played his 4 years at Division I, but because of COVID, he had his fifth year of eligibility, so we got him here. So it's kind of worked both ways. I think the COVID kids and all of that, I think this is the final year for that. That's one of the reasons why our roster was so large with seniors this year, is because the majority of those guys were COVID kids that literally played 6 years of college baseball. I think that's going to dwindle. But I think the NCAA and the JUCO not counting and the NAI not counting, I think that's going to be a one-year thing. I really do. That's the Diego thing. So it'd be interesting to see how that happens. Now, the big thing for baseball is the NCAA has changed the roster. You can only have 34 on the roster so they've changed all that. So I think what you're going to see is a lot of these Division I kids are going to be being cut from their rosters currently, and they're going to be looking for a place to play. And that's going to end up backlogging kids at junior colleges that usually go to Division I. They're not going to have a place to play because all the Division I rosters are full with the transfer portal. So I think the lower-level schools, the Division IIs, the NAIs, I think at the end of the day, they're going to end up getting better quality, talented players, if that makes sense.
We're talking this morning with Luther Bramlett, former Caldwell County Tiger, head coach now at Midway University. And Luther, you're the only coach in Midway baseball history. How long have you been there now?
This is our ninth year.
Wow, that's hard to believe. It feels like you were just at St. Catherine. And I remember when you guys brought those teams down here and played college doubleheaders out at the VFW ballpark.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that the other day, how I could find somebody to play over there. I really was.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Those days.
Yeah,
that was fun.
Those were always great. And, yeah, anytime you guys want to come down and play, that would be awesome.
Well, we'll see if we can't find somebody and try to make that happen.
Well, like I said, we just need to keep getting more kids your way, and hopefully you guys can find some Western Kentucky kids. There's actually been a few good ones come out of this end of the state, and Caldwell County's on a pretty good run, like we mentioned earlier, so maybe a few will shake out. I know you're going to get a wrestler from Caldwell County. Logan Brown is signed to wrestle there at Midway, and I know the wrestling program is pretty new there.
Yep, it is pretty new, and they've had several guys qualify for nationals over the last few years. It's a good program. Obviously, it's an extremely competitive conference. They're in the Mid-South Conference, and they're wrestling against some really high quality people. So it'd be a good opportunity for him to come in and compete and get better and go against some really quality guys.
Luther, you're definitely a baseball guy. So tell us, in your opinion, what is the state of baseball right now as far as college and high school and all those? Is baseball in a pretty good spot right now?
I think college baseball is at its peak, and I think it's going to continue to rise. I think the quality of baseball, especially in the SEC, ACC, you know, your Power Four conferences has really improved. Of course, the facilities are unbelievable. They're like minor league ballparks. The development of players, that all of that is because Major League Baseball has limited the drafts to 20 rounds and has eliminated a lot of the minor leagues. So basically what that's done for college baseball is made your Division I's a lot better. And then that has now trickled down to the Division II, the NAI. So college baseball, I think, has since I played and now I've been coaching, I don't know if I could have played in today's NAI game. I mean, that's how much better the level of competition has gotten. I think a lot of people don't understand how good the level is that we play. So overall, I think college baseball has gotten extremely stronger and better. I don't know if the high schools have caught up with that yet. That's one of the reasons why a lot of these colleges, you know, have to recruit JUCO kids and transfers, kids with experience, because most high school kids aren't ready to step in and compete right away. It takes them time. So,
yeah, you know, when
overall,
we were younger,
when
we were younger, you hardly ever saw college baseball on TV. And ESPN finally started showing the College World Series, and it blew up, and now there's college baseball all over the TV.
Yeah, you got that, and college softball is the same. I mean, you could. I mean, college softball seems like it's on more than college baseball, which is a good thing. I mean, I think anytime you can televise the collegiate game, I think it gets more people interested and kids playing. And at the end of the day, I think that's what needs to be happening. You know, kids need to be playing sports. And you know, I was talking to somebody the other day. College athletics has gotten more kids a degree and put them on the right path in life just because of a sport, because they wouldn't have done it if they didn't have a chance to play basketball or baseball or football or whatever else. So it's an important necessity, I believe.
I think in many ways the college baseball game may be better than the Major League Baseball game right now.
Well, me and you have talked a lot about this over the years. I haven't watched a Major League game yet. Now, I'll watch college baseball. You know, I'll be here at practice or a game, and I'll go home, and I'll turn TV on, and I'll watch a college baseball game. I'll watch college baseball until the World Series is over, and then I'll start tuning in some Major League games. Just the brand of baseball it's more competitive. The guys play harder. They care. They hustle. They compete. You know, these guys at the Major League level getting paid so much money that they can't afford to run a ball out because they might tear something, and that doesn't help them. So,
yeah, don't even get me started on load management.
yeah, it's definitely become a different game, and all the analytics and numbers, and it's just that has trickled down to us. I mean, you know, we deal with analytics now and video and all that type of stuff. The kids are getting that in lessons and development. And so when we're recruiting, you know, those are some of the questions kids ask now. It's crazy how the game has evolved.
Well, how are you guys looking moving forward now at Midway? Are you kind of excited for next season?
Yeah, overall. I mean, obviously we have to replace 20 guys that have played a lot of games and thrown a lot of pitches for us. We had 10 position players that we're losing and 10 pitchers that we're losing. So we've got some really good players that we're going to have to replace. So we've been crushing through recruiting and on the phone often and talking to people and coaches and players. And we're close to signing several of those kids. I think we've signed 12 high school kids so far. And we think that two or three of those guys could come in and potentially help us as freshmen. Majority of those guys are on the mound. But yeah, I mean, I think we're a hidden gem, and with our facility and our location, and our campus is beautiful, and the degrees and the majors that we offer are unique, and their kids can graduate here and get right into the workforce. I mean, I've got three kids already have jobs in the finance area, and they haven't even graduated yet and finished playing for us, but they're already lined up ready to go. So we've got a lot of positive things here, and I think we could continue to build and get the right kids in here. I think we could win. I think we can win at a high level. So we're excited about it, and just continue to work, try to build it, man.
Luther, I appreciate you coming on the show this morning. Good luck to you guys at Brescia this weekend, and, you know, this is a good time of year to go on a win streak.
Yes, sir. Sounds good, man. Appreciate you having me, Todd, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
All right, take it easy.
All right, man. See you.
That's Luther Bramlett, former Caldwell County Tiger, now the head coach of the baseball program at Midway University. We need to get to a timeout here on the Sideline Report. Back with more after this on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Bollinger Real Estate and Auction has made it their mission to build strong relationships in Caldwell County. If an auction is something necessary in your future, allow the Bollinger team to help you.
Hey, it's Jess. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 9. We'll get you ready to start your day with sticky notes and local, regional, and national news updates at 6:30 and 7:30, complete weather-rich forecasts, jumping a Wayback Machine, birthdays and anniversaries at 7:30, catch up with Community Calendar, and cover local issues, events, and even share the love with Coffee Talk at 8 a.m. Everything you need to know and a whole lot of fun. Start your day with us at 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Weather Edge Weather Center forecast, a 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms today, and partly sunny skies mixed in with a high near 79. South winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms well after midnight going into Friday. Partly cloudy with a low around 62. Friday afternoon, mostly cloudy skies, 77 degrees. Still a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms as well. But back to this afternoon, 60% for showers and storms. Partly sunny and 79 in southwestern Kentucky.
Leap into all the springtime activities with the money you need to make it the best ever. From graduations, college, home repairs, auto purchase, and family reunions, you don't want to worry about money. At ABC Finance, they can help. With loans from $500 to $15,000, decisions are made quickly, usually within an hour. Do all the things this spring with help from ABC Finance.
This is Todd Morris at the Hopkinsville ABC Finance location.
And this is Courtney Morris at ABC Finance in Princeton.
Whatever location is closest to you, we're here to help make your loan process quick, easy, and stress-free.
We can even consolidate all your loans into one easy payment.
No appointment is needed, walk-ins are welcome, and we can take your application in person, over the phone, or apply online at abcfinanceonline.com.
Be sure to like and follow ABC Finance on Facebook for daily money tips and community info.
All loans subject to normal credit approval.
I'm Stephanie, manager of Purcell Tire. We offer a wide variety of options to keep your vehicle running smooth. We are now offering our car care package that includes oil and filter change, tire rotation and tread depth check, brakes, battery, belts, and hoses check. Call us today at 270-365-7291. Come see us at 309 U.S. Highway 62 West in Princeton or visit us online at PurcellTire.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks for tuning in on this Thursday morning. We've got softball action on the air this afternoon. The Caldwell County Lady Tigers hosting the Madisonville North Hopkins Lady Maroons out at Lady Tiger Field. First pitch set for about 5:30, and we will be on the air immediately following the 5 o'clock newscast today. The number one seed for the 7th District Softball Tournament is still up for grabs, and Caldwell County will host the 7th District Softball Tournament next month out at Lady Tiger Field. Also, baseball home today. The Tigers putting their 14-2 record and a 6-game winning streak on the line. They'll host Union County, and we'll have updates from that game during our softball coverage here today on WPKY. Once again, thanks to Larry Vaught and Luther Bramlett for coming on the show this morning. That's going to wrap up this edition of the Sideline Report. This is Todd Griffin of WPKY Radio and your SportsEdge.com. Thanks a lot for being with us this morning here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
WPKY Princeton.